proclaim the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions.
This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, presenting another radio Bible program. We continue with our series about God's covenants with man, looking at the very first one that God made in the Bible, the Edenic Covenant. This covenant involved God, Adam, and Eve. The first and second chapters of the book of Genesis contain the main details of this agreement. In Genesis 1, God commanded the primeval pair to, quote, "be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth," unquote. By reproducing, Adam and Eve, as well as their posterity, Adam and Eve would continue to populate the planet. Some Bible commentators have understood the use of the word replenish to imply that human life had existed on earth prior to Adam and Eve, and that God destroyed such life and began creation anew. The Hebrew verb malah, rendered as replenish, indicated the act of filling something or making something abound. Earlier in the first chapter of Genesis, for example, God ordered the denizens of the sea to, quote, "fill," malah, "fill the waters in the seas," unquote. Who would interpret that phrase to mean that sea life existed before Genesis 1, but that God had wiped it out and recreated sea life? God commanded that Adam and Eve, quote, "have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth," unquote. Though he created many species, God specified that humans should govern them. An incident depicted in Genesis chapter 2 related how Adam gave names to all other creatures. This manifested his exercise of his God-given authority to have dominion over the beasts of the field, the fish of the sea, the creeping and crawling things. Furthermore, God said to Adam, quote, "I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree, in which the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat," unquote. He originally intended for the human race to subsist on vegetation and fruit products. Only after Noah's flood occurred did God allow mankind to consume meat that came from animals. The second chapter of Genesis added another provision to the Edenic Covenant. God placed the primeval pair in the Garden of Eden, quote, "to dress it and to keep it," unquote. Since God watered the ground from a mist which originated from below the earth's surface, nourishing the plant life, Adam's task would entail little more than cultivating fertile soil and reaping the fruits of his labors. After issuing that command, God instructed Adam, quote, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die," unquote. This injunction functioned as the only restriction that God placed upon what Adam and Eve could do in the garden. Adam and Eve disobeyed that divine commandment. Therefore, God had to arrange to deal differently with them, now that they possessed the knowledge of good and evil. In our next section, we will look at the next covenant God made with the human race. This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio Bible study.
You've been listening to The Everlasting Nation, a ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can contact us at 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.